Let's turn to John chapter 10, shall we? And we're going to read just the closing part, really, of John chapter 10. We'll start at verse 22. John chapter 10, verse 22. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We are not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I have said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said I am God's son? Do not believe me unless I do what my Father does. But if I do it, even though you do not believe me, believe the miracles, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. Here he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, though John never performed a miraculous sign, all that John said about this man was true. And in that place many believed in Jesus. Throughout the centuries, there have always been attacks on the Christian faith. And yet a lot of the best books that have been written have been in response to those attacks. It wasn't so long ago there were those within the church that sought to attack the very nature of Christ's atonement. They put into question whether, in fact, he did die in order to bear the curse. But there was a wonderful book that got written in response to such attacks. And I've got the book on my shelf, and it really is a tremendous book. And one of the reviewers of the book wrote this: "Such a response almost makes one thankful for the errorists. The Jews, and in particular the religious authorities, were constantly attacking Jesus and seeking to undermine his ministry. But you know, it was in the midst of those attacks that such wonderful truths came from Jesus' lips about his person and his work, that one is almost thankful for the errorists. One is almost thankful for the false teachers. Now, we do not delight in falsehood. We delight in the truth. But you can see where I'm going when I say this. One is almost thankful for the errorists. What's the purpose of John chapter 10, verses 22 through 42? I would really like to have preached a sermon this morning on the eternal security of the Christian. And Jesus does deal with this particular matter here in this passage, but I don't think that that is essentially what it is about. I think what's happening here, once again, is we are being taught that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that it is by believing in him that we receive eternal life. I've got five headings this morning, and they're not all long headings, but I'll put them all to you now just so that you know where we're going. Firstly, a question. Secondly, a response. Thirdly, a charge. Fourthly, an appeal. And fifthly, an encouragement. So firstly, a question. And we're looking at verses 22 to 24. Now, it would seem that there was a two-month break between verse 21 and 22. Not all commentators would necessarily agree with that. But that is the likelihood. And you can see from verse 22, we are told that it's winter. And that means the rainy season in Israel. And presumably, that's why Jesus is walking in Solomon's colonnade. It's the one place that you can keep dry and out of the way of the elements. And we see in verse 24... that the Jews gathered round him. I wonder whether they were trying to imitate him, if indeed that were possible. Anyway, they put a question to him. The question is this: How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, if you are the Messiah, if you are the anointed one sent by God to save Israel, tell us plainly. Well, you'd love to have a question put to you this week, wouldn't you, from some of your work colleagues. You know, tell us plainly. From the divine perspective, Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. In other words, there's nothing wrong with the evidence. Verse 26, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. If they had have been his sheep, then they would have heard his voice, they would have recognized it, and they would have followed him. But they were not his sheep. I guess all of us struggle with the relationship between human responsibility and divine sovereignty. I know that I struggle with the two, and I think it's impossible, actually, to see how they intertwine or go together. But the Bible does present both sides to us, and I think we must be willing to acknowledge both sides and not deny one at the expense of the other. The Jews chose not to believe in Jesus and remain morally responsible for their choice. But at the same time, I believe we can argue that they did not believe in Jesus because they were not his sheep, because they were not his elect, because they were not predestined to believe. So the Jews asked the question as to whether Jesus was the Messiah, and clearly they got an answer. But clearly they also got more than they asked for. Because we see in these verses that follow, Jesus says he has the authority to call his sheep to follow him. He has the ability to give them eternal life.